Ingles, the quick trigger and the connection.
I don't think I've ever seen a shot like that.
Ingles again, finding space.
And after a win, as my man Joe Ingles is just playing great.
Ingles curling around, will take another. You bet! Joe Ingles is hot! Now it's Gobert. We're going to give it back to Ingles. He will take. Truth! He's got another!
Yeah, NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is Monday, November 12th. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Lariyama Studios letting you know what's going on, who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, mate? Just while repping Straya a little bit. It's what we do here. So today's show is repping a mega NBA weekend as we finally end up our winter of Jimmy Butler's discontent with a trade to Ben Simmons' 76ers. That's pretty cool. As well as countless rumors swirling that sentient spud Carmelo Anthony is about to be released by the Rockets. They're going to consciously uncouple, it seems. And, you know, there was also a huge array of games. Some of them very, very good. So we'll cover all that. We'll cover it all using the usual dumbassery. That means that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, panting in the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. And of course there's yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame grilled takes. And because it's Monday, we award our coveted new dickhead of the weekend and award a brand new Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba First Annual Award for Achievement in the Field of Excellence before we preview and pick every single NBA game for tomorrow and finish up with a brand new Dally review. That's right, Dally is reviewing Red Dead Redemption 2. Ah, it's great. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Straya, episode 180. Let's go!
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Or you better watch out for, what, another Joel Embiid attack? Or the attack of the disgruntled superstar who forced a trade out of Minnesota? It's right there. It's all right there. So let's get stuck into it, shall we? We're going to start this week the way we start every episode here at NBA Straya with the Daily Whip Around. That's right, and obviously right off the top, the Jimmy Butler trade. We had Jimmy Butts, Justin Patton, and a 2022 second round pick to the Sixers for Dario the Homie Saric and Bobby Covington, as well as Jared Bayless, who I saw like at the Sixers practice facility before the start of the season. He looked really good. So I don't know, bit underrated. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, so there you go. Mini get outs of the Jimmy Butler business. They don't have to pay him. They let Kat and Andrew Wiggins not cry at work anymore. That's handy, I guess. I mean, sure. Now he's a big Sixers problem, so they're going to have to figure that out. They apparently, according to Woj and assorted other people, they seem to have an understanding that they both parties want to be there long term. That's pretty neat. And the Sixers obviously can sign him more and for more dollars than anybody else now, for longer and for more dollars. So ball's in their court. And it's all really going to come down to whether or not Jimmy Butts fits in with the Sixers and, you know, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, the two established stars there who are probably, man, look, I'm not going to hesitate to say this, but probably not as shirking goddamn violets as those Minnesota T-Wolves crybabies over there, big Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggo Wiggins. Ben Simmo, just get him in a big headlock. He's like, what do you reckon? Shut up, dickhead. I'm going to give you a noogie. And Joel Embiid will just, like, put him through a window. So, it's interesting. We're going to talk about that and yeah, nah, and a bunch of other stuff. So, let's get through to one of my favorite ones. It's Weekend Winners.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is
me, Ken Brockman. Who are our Weekend Winners? Well, number one, First cap of the rank, Carl Anthony Towns. That's a winner of a weekend for Cat, huh? He got Jimmy Butts off his back so he can actually go play Fortnite until 2 a.m. and not know who the Wolves are playing the next day without anyone giving him shit about it. So that's nice. Oh, good job, Carl Anthony Towns. You've got to be very happy now. Other winner, Philly. They've got a third dude who's probably a top 20 player in the NBA. I mean, that's a win. I don't know about the fit, but he's pretty good. So, sure. Other weekend winners, Miami. They're not stuck trading a bunch of assets and paying Jimmy Butler $200 million over the next 5 years. So that's a bit of a win. You'll take that. The Lakers, they're a weekend winners for getting over the 500 for the first time since 2016. You'll take that, won't you, LeBron? Even if you're going a little bit hardcore with the celebrating a win over the 310 Hawks. Jesus. And our final weekend winner are Golden State because they're missing two guys in Steph Curry and Draymond Green, but they only had to play once in the last 3 days. So you'll take that as a pretty big win. So they'll go one game in 4 days at an ideal time. You'll take it, won't you? You'll take it. All right, what about our weekend losers?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up, loser.
Loser.
Yeah, they are losers. It's the weekend losers. Let's get into it. Weekend losers, Philly spacing. Yeah, trading away Bobby Covington and Dario the homie Saric, even though Saric hasn't been able to hit this broadside of a bloody burn this year. Ostensibly could shoot. Jimmy Butler ostensibly can shoot as well, I guess. But how much do you trust him? You know what I'm saying? So look, their spacing will probably take a bit of a hit. They'll try to figure it out. Yeah, I think they'll be all right. Jimmy Butler's good at basketball. Other weekend losers, Minnesota. Because don't forget, they may have traded Jimmy Butts, but they are still on a 5-game losing streak on this specific road trip, let alone just in general. In general, they have lost, 7 of their last 10? Yeah, not great there, Minnie. Not great. Other weekend losers, OKC had their 7-game win streak busted by Dallas. Yeah, that's a bit of a loser move. The Nuggets, they dropped winnable close games to the Nets and the Bucks, all thanks to a lot of problems in clutch situations. So they're now 9-4. Nuggets, that's a weekend loser. Probably the Lakers. I'll probably call them, even though they beat the Hawks, they're kind of losers. Because keep it in your pants, dudes. You beat a 3-10 Hawks team and you're dropping bloody confetti. Just chill out, mate. Just chill out. I get that Tyson Chandler had a block and that was cool, but come on. Act like you've been there before. Anyway, so let's quickly wrap all the results from the weekend. We're going to fly through this. Saturday, there were 7 games. The Wizards went into Orlando and lost. Magic Bowl. I love a good Magic Bowl. It's the Harry Potter Bowl. Yes. How good are Harry Potter Bowls? They're always fun. But man, the Wizards are just in like complete and utter struggle town at this point, aren't they? Poor buggers. So that's the first leg of the Harry Potter Bowl. And I believe there is another leg tomorrow. No, there's not. Not for a little while. Anyway, there you go. Neat. Good job. Charlotte, they go into Philly and lose in overtime 133-132. Joel Embiid closes that out down the stretch. Detroit beat Atlanta 124-109. Indy and Victor Oladipo beat Miami 110-102. Brooklyn go into Denver and randomly win this game 112-100. 110. Jeez. A bit of a shocker there, bro. Bit of a shocker. Didn't expect that one at all. And I believe it was actually, 112-110. Unbelievable. Boston, they go into Utah and lose 123-115. Utah on the riding the back of a huge Joe Ingles performance. We'll talk about that later in Australian Player Watch. And Minnesota lose in Sacramento, prompting the Jimmy Butler trade. They lose 121-110. Unbelievable. Sacramento just out there cruising, mate. Sacramento are just like beside themselves. They're 7-6 and like, oh my God, we've got a better record than Utah and New Orleans and Houston and Minnesota. Who called it? Well, I called this win the other day, but anyway. On Sunday, we had 10 games. We had Knicks. They played the Raptors in the Bargnani Bowl. Raptors win that 128-112. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. They lost in a very, 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 very close fashion to the Clippers in LA, 128-126, thanks to Lou Will. Phoenix, they lost to the Pelicans in New Orleans, 119-99. Washington turn around on a back-to-back and beat Miami, 116, 110, which was just absolutely wild. I have no idea how that even happened. John Wall had a good game. That's how it happened. Cleveland. Where is it there, Stephen A. Smith? Come on. That's right, Cleveland. They lost to Chicago 99-98. That is some good tanking. Philly, they lose to Memphis. We called this on Friday as well because Memphis is super squirrely. And Memphis won it 112-106. Marc Gasol, Mike Conley. Mike Conley just out there doing work in that one. The Spurs, 96. They beat the Rockets at home. The Texas Showdown. Brooklyn lose to Golden State 116-100. The Mavs, as mentioned, beat OKC 111-96. No Rusty, probably no Rusty for a little while. And the Kings and Lakers. The Lakers got a win over Sacramento as the haze from the bushfires, or wildfires as they call them in the States, were raging in Northern California. And the dickhead Presidente was all like, oh, nah, bro, like, fully it's because of not me. And everyone's like, nah, you definitely cut, like, funding to forestry, and also you're a fucking idiot. Anyway, so today, the games had a pretty good slate. The Hornets beat the Pistons 113-103. Look, Kemba versus Blake and Andre. Blake got tossed for a prick move on Malik Monk, where he kind of threw his shoulder into him when he was up in the air. So off you go, Blake, on your bike, mate. Andre Drummond had 23 points, 22 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. Just another massive game for Andre. 19 points and 7 assists for Reggie Jackson. Charlotte, Kemba had 24 points and 8 assists. Tony Parker out there smashing it. 24 points, shot 11 of 18. And look, one of the Zellers, Cody, 14-6-3 for Cody. On you, mate. So Detroit, they are now 6-6, and Charlotte are 7-6. Unbelievable. Indy, they went into Houston and lost 115-103. Victor Oladipo versus the beard, James Harden. Fast Jimmy Harden. And we didn't have Carmelo at 30. And this one, I'm sick, bro. I'm sick. So, might have been dealing with the effects of a couple of big nights out. Who knows? But also might be getting booted off the team. It's interesting times for old Carmelo over there. We didn't mention in the winners and losers, but he's definitely a loser because we're going to talk about him extensively in one of the other segments. So, Indy, Wick thought had a shocker. He finished with 22 points, but shot 7 of 24, 3 of 10 from 3. Bojan showed up with 20, but that's kind of the problem with this Indy team. When Wick thought struggles, their other dudes never really quite step up at the same time to fill in the gaps. I mean, Miles Turner only had 9 points, 3 rebounds in his 24 minutes. I mean, come on, mate. What are you doing? And Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King, had 11-6, but didn't miss a field goal, but missed a couple of free throws. And Clint Capella outplayed all of them. So it's like, all right, cool. What are y'all doing? Houston, they hit 23s. Fast Jimmy Harden had 40. Great game for him. 9 of 20 shooting. 8 of 18 from 3. Hit 8 threes. Unbelievable. He also had 9 assists, 7 rebounds, and 9 turnovers. So he matched his assist total with turnovers. Pretty good. CP3 had 26, 5 and 5. Also had a bunch of turnovers, but wasn't too bad. Shot 5 of 7 from 3 as well. Pretty good. And Clint Capella had 18 and 7. Eric Gordo Gordon, bit of a spud night for him. 3 of 14. He might pop up later. So India now 8-6, and Houston are 5-7, which is pretty wild once you sort of think about it. But then not so wild when you realize that Carmelo Anthony is on their team. Speaking of his former team, the Knicks, they hosted the Magic and lost 89-115, which is wild. I mean, Hardaway the lesser, no Aaron Gordon, and the Magic still smoked them. Yeah, so for the Knicks, no starter scored in double figures in this game, which is wild. We had Kevo Knox. He's back, which is pretty neat. He had 17 points on 4 of 11 shooting. Like, good on you. I mean, sure. On you, Kevo Knox. I'm just happy to have you back in my life, mate. Tim Hardaway the lesser had an absolute shocker. Talk about him a little bit later. 12 for Super Mario. Oh, where is it? Quick. Right there. Super Mario and Enos the Penis Cantor had 16 and 15. Loves it, does old Enos. For the Magic, no Azza Gordon, as mentioned. So there's 21 and 14 for Vooch. 22 off the bench for T-Ross. He hit 5 threes as well. And 15 and 8 with 2 blocks for Mo Bamba. Loved it. So this was just a weird, horrible game. Fucking hell, Knicks. What are y'all doing? The Knicks are now 4-10. The Magic are 6-7. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. 121 beat Denver today as well in Denver. 114. Yes! Good job, Marv. Great game. We had Greek versus Serb like Chapel Street on a Saturday. It was great. It's unbelievable. We had the Joker versus Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo. And for the Nugs, Paul Thrillsap Millsap had a big one. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. The Joker had a 26-6, hit 4 of 8 from 3, which is pretty good. Jam and Jamal Murray had 14 on 16 shots, though. Not great. And Gary the Dartsman Harris had 15 points on 5 of 14 shooting. So also not great and efficient for the Nuggets. 16 for Trey, not Donovan Mitchell-Lyles, though. Pretty good. He's coming along very nicely. For the Bucks, they shot 57% as a team, which was wild, and 50% from three. Jesus. Blopez, a lot of that had to do with him. He went 8 of 13 from three. That's right. Ostensible NBA center, Brook Lopez, who I have spent many upon many years watching in Brooklyn, who was a giant spud for most of his career, is now stroking threes like an end of thing, like a giant, big, lurch-headed Steph Curry. 28 points. He was hotter than Axl Rose's Jokic. It was unreal. Also finished with a total of 4 rebounds in classic Brook Lopez fashion. How can someone 7 foot be so bad at rebounding? It's unbelievable. You're taller than everybody else, you idiot. Greek Freak had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 21 for Middleton, who was amazing down the stretch. Basically sealed the game for them with a great sort of jumper at the end of the shot clock. That basically sealed the game. 24 El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, and 12 points for Blowdry Bledsoe. But the Bucks, man, they're just rounding into form. They're 10-3. The Nugs have dropped a couple of winnable games in a row, 9-4. Speaking of winnable games, Boston came all the way back in this Portland game. Portland win 194. This was a great game. Boston's road trip has been a bit of a tough one. But man, Portland basically only had this one in the bag once Al-Farouq Aminu, the chieftain, he was unreal, dropped in a huge three from, I believe, further away than Lagos was the call, which was pretty amazing. And PDX Pete said, I believe it was something about, it was it was deeper than any city and color record he'd ever listened to. Well, there you go. PDX Pete, confirmed emo. nice. But this is a great win for Portland. Boston, Jason Tatum turned it back on. He had 27. He goes 9 of 18 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. 21 for Kyrie Irving, a 9 of 24 shooting. Not a great one for Kyrie. Flastad, though, he had 13 and 6 for Boston. Rose, and Rose was not great, and neither was Marcus Smart there. Just not much in the way of their usual sort of difference-making selves, which will, you know, happen on the road. And Gordon Hayward just looks like a bit of a spanner at the moment. Yeah, not great. Portland, 19 points and 12 assists for Dame, 18 and 17 for the Bulls and Beer. Hello, Yusuf Nurkic. I shall put you in headlock and never you shall move again. Yes. CJ had 14. 3 made threes and 11 points for Aminu. 3 made threes and 9 points for Seth the Shitty One Curry. It's pretty good. This was a fun-ass game. The Celtics came roaring back. And the Blazers had just enough to, hold them off and stick with it, which was really cool. Pretty panic-inducing though for Blazers fans, but they held on. So Celtics, they're now 7-6. It's pretty weird to think of, considering everyone's like, oh, they're going to win 60 games, bro. Probably not. Blazers are 10-3. Is that a 60-win pace? It's coming pretty close. Not that much. not that close. Anyway, and then the final game of the night, Lakers 107 beat the Hawks 106 in the better than Lonzo ball. Because it was Lonzo versus Trae Young. And Lakers win on a Tyson Chandler block as Trae Young drove to the basket, which was a very nifty move. I really dug it. Tyson Chandler got just enough on it. Looked pretty close to a goal 10, but they didn't review it, and it was all over. So, too fucking bad, Atlanta. LeBron missed 2 clutch free throws at the end, but then had a putback dunk of a Kuz miss to get them up. And this also came after a BS fucking tech foul called a little bit earlier off a no-call kicked ball. It might not have been intentional kicking, but the fact that they got a tech foul for like trying to argue the fucking point was out fucking outrageous. God damn it. Come on, refs, pull your fucking heads out. So the Hawks, I'm not going to say they was robbed, but pretty close. And how's LeBron missing more clutch free throws? There's a great stat floating around of just, you know, what his free throw percentage is. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then going in to the clutch time as well, which is pretty funny. And it just gets lower and lower and lower. So first quarter free throw percentage this season, 72%. Second quarter, 76%. Third quarter, 79%. Fourth quarter, 74%. Clutch free throws in the last 5 minutes, 58%. In the last minute, 44%. And then in the last 30 seconds, 38%. Jesus, LeBron, what are you doing, mate? Anyway, so for the Hawks, Trae Young, he had 20 points, 12 assists, pretty good. 8 of 18 shooting, yeah, not bad. But that drive to, like, you know, win the game was pretty good. Just really wish he'd get into it a little bit earlier rather than, like, you know, the game is going to be over as the ball is in the air. Like, always, like, just leaving a little bit more time so you maybe get a put back out of nowhere or get an offensive rebound and throw it back up for another shot. I mean, you know, the other team's usually not going to have enough time to get the ball and call a timeout, so I don't know. Anyway, 21 for Baze Gaze. Alex Len, the Ukrainian stepladder, he had 17 and 11. Tilreen, the Red Bull Prince, had 23 as well. And it is absolutely wild to see 41-year-old Vince Carter out there in crunch time defending LeBron. It is nuts. How is this even, like, happening? That's nuts. I'll tell you that much. For the Lakers, LeBron had 26, 7, and 4. Kuz had 18 and 8. Lonzo had 8, 11, and 6, and 11 each. For the Notorious, KCP, Lance, make him dance. And for Spindles Ingram. And you know what? Let's get to the NBA Strayer approved performance of the weekend.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That was a knife, Big Cat and Joker. You guys were massive in losses. 39 and 19 for Big Cat against the Kangs, and Joker had 37 points, 21 rebounds, and 3 assists against the Nets, but they lost, so you don't get a knife that way. Joel Embiid against the Hornets was knife-worthy down the stretch, hitting all his free throws, ends up with 42 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, and Lou Williams also gets a knife as well for hitting the game winner the other night. That was pretty awesome. Jingles as well, 27 points, a career high, 5 rebounds, 7 assists in a smashing of Boston. Good job, Jingles. Some really good, solid performances over the weekend. There you go. Like, especially in those losses, it was wild to see. But anyway, let's get into Old Mate No Mates. Who do you reckon this one might be today?
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got no mates today? Carmelo Anthony. Melo, is it me you're looking for? No, it's not, because you're a spud. Get the fuck away from my team. Melo, holy shit, no one wants him. Houston are like, yeah, bruh, we're not entirely sure if he's any good, and we're shit, and we might think it's his fault, eh? And so they might be pulling the pin. Tim McMahon and Woj reporting. Rockets players and coaches believe that Carmelo Anthony has played his final game for the franchise. Whoa! That is absolutely wild at this point, isn't it? Like, Melo is out there going, hey, P, they want me to come off the bench. What do you reckon about that? Smash cut to being traded to Atlanta. Atlanta buying him out. Signing with Houston. And Houston going, yeah, fuck this guy. Gee, do you think it's because Carmelo's not any good anymore, like I've been fucking telling you for the last 2 years? Jesus. Come on, mate. What are y'all doing? So, Melo, old mate, no mates, and a fucking half. No one wants him. Like, where does he go now? Like, does he end up on the Lakers? Does he end up in, like, Miami? Does he end up where? Like, New Orleans next to, like, Anthony Davis? Could you just see him going to New Orleans, pouting, bitching, and moaning and ruining that team as well? I mean, you can't you? Anyway, who was the spud of the weekend?
Spud of the night.
Spud of the night, of the weekend, Jaylen Brown had a pretty rough one against his old mate Jay Crowder. Shot 4 of 17 in Utah. That was gross. Goran Dragic versus the Wizards. 21 minutes. Missed everything. 0 of 7 from the field. Unbelievable. 3 turnovers against his 3 assists. That's a spud. Landry Shamwow. Shamit. Holy crap, mate. Rookies shouldn't be shooting 2 of 13 from the field against the Grizzlies. Jesus, mate, settle down. Why are you taking 13 shots, Landry Shamwell? That's nuts. In a game that you lost, might be your fault, mate. Lonzo Ball crapped the bed. Pretty hardcore. Crapped the bed full of spuds, really, against the Kings. But Tim Hardaway the lesser. Jesus, 2 of 12 today. 1 of 6 from 3. That was gross, Kobe. And Ray Felton looks like a spud. Shot like one too. 3 of 12 against Dallas the other day for OKC. And yes, don't forget, Ray Felton, still in the NBA. Still weighs about 2 times everybody you know. Awesome. What about the pantsing of the weekend? Look, Orlando on the Knicks today was just, oh, holy hell, mate. And the Joker blocking Giannis in their game was pretty pants-worthy as well, because no one's entirely sure if Nikola Jokic can jump. So for him to block one of the most athletic specimens in the entire NBA was pretty pantsing. And then finally, well, we've got 2 more. We've got better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As long as everybody's shooting badly and being bad at basketball. And Lonzo. Lonzo had 3 air balls the other day. That was unbelievable. Had 2 of 10 from the field. 3 air balls. 0 of 6 from 3. But today was a little bit better. He had 8 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds on 2 of 5 shooting. But come on, mate. Even Mitchell Robinson's getting in on this game. 9 blocks today against the Magic. That is unbelievable, mate. So who was better than Lonzo Ball? Was it De'Aaron Fox? 21 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. Even Trae Young today was very, very good. 20 and 12. But no. Luka Doncic. Holy shit. 22 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists against OKC. And with those 22 points, he has scored more points than anyone in their first 12 games. And the only other teen to have 20 plus points in 7 of their first 12 games is Kyrie Irving. So pretty good, but even better, of the there are 7 players ever to have scored through their first 12 games 200 plus points and have 75 plus rebounds and 50 plus assists. That is Luka Doncic joining Magic Johnson, Oscar Robertson, Alvin Adams, LeBron James, John Johnson, which sounds like a made-up name, and Big Simo himself. Unbelievable. On you, Luka. Absolutely smashing it. Better than both Trae Young and Lonzo Ball. Killing it. All right, and then finally, who was our dickhead of the weekend?
Dickhead of the
weekend. Tibbs in mini. I guess he's like right there, right? He's like, hey, you guys, you know, ice. You know how I'm like the coach, ice, of like Minnesota, ice. And I'm also like the G, ice. Yeah, he's really sputting it up there in Minnesota and a bit dickheaded where he's sort of very, very, I'm going to try to like take the heat for more than I think Jimmy Butler's worth. Backfired pretty spectacularly and ends up with only Dario Saric and Robert Covington to show for it. So bit of a tough one. And there was a great story about the ins and outs of Glenn Taylor getting involved over the top of Tibbs and dealing with Josh Harris of the 76ers. Get stuck into that. Tibbs, oh, copping it hardcore. And yeah, finally had to pull the trigger and kind of got roasted for it. Final extra bit of dickhead of the weekend though. Rondo finally got a high five from Marvy Bagges. Rondo's ongoing crusade to get a high five from the opposition player while they're shooting free throws is amazing. And Marvy Bagges kind of fell for it because Rondo jumped in front of the high five he was giving. And then Marvy Bagges turned around and went, nah, that didn't count. And I'm like, nah, you still did it though, didn't you, Marvy? So you're our dickhead of the weekend as well. But, you know, you're a rookie. You'll learn. All right, let's get to Yeah Nahs right after these ones.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, are you ready? It's Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah, and today we're going to do a big Jimmy Butler trade and a bunch of other stuff. So look, right off the bat, should Minnesota have ever even traded for Jimmy Butler in the first place? Yeah, nah. Yeah, look. I mean, I think you have to kind of roll that dice, right? And really hope that Jimmy Butler pushes Kat and Wiggins up a level instead of, like, you know, turning them into broken-hearted crybabies, which is what actually happened, which is a damn shame. The idea of, like, Tibbs was like, all right, cool, man. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a bunch of my old dudes and I'll push the young dudes and they'll learn. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like Jimmy Butler's really that interested in teaching anybody rather than just sort of getting in their face and go, look how much harder I am working than you are, which is a different type of leadership and one that clearly didn't work for Wiggo and Kat. So look, I think it's the right idea at the very start, but I don't know, Tibbs probably should have known that Kat and Wiggo may have responded this way. It's very tough to tell. But man, I'll tell you what, it hurts. Because if you think about it, Minnesota could just have, if they never traded for Jimmy Butler, they could have Wiggo, Karl Anthony Towns, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lowry. That's a girl's name, Markkanen, instead of like Dario, the homie Saric, and Robert Covington. Ooh, it's rough. And you feel like Lowry Markkanen would work amazingly next to Kat, right? Like same as Nikola Mirotic, yes. Next to Anthony Davis there in New Orleans. Zach LaVine is your more... You probably wouldn't have to bother with Derrick Rose if you got Zach LaVine there. Chris Dunn, you'd have another settled point guard next to Jeff Teague. But they rolled the dice, didn't work. Now they've got a bit of a reset with Dario, the homie Saric, and Bobby Cov. Speaking of which, would you rather have LaVine, Dunn, and Markkanen than Saric and Cov? Yeah, nah, yes! In a fucking heartbeat. I mean, LaVine still doesn't play any fucking defense. Markkanen's young as hell and doesn't play any defense. But he can fill it up, so can LaVine. And Chris Dunn, look, he kind of gets hurt all the time, but the idea of him as like a defense-first point guard who can set up other dudes is still alive, at least, you know, in conceptually. So, look, Saric is pretty cool as a playmaking forward. I like it. And Bobby Cove is like a very good 3-and-D player. But there's just so many more permutations, right, through LaVine, Dunn, and Markkanen. Ugh! And they're much younger. Jesus. Anyway... Speaking of which, Minnesota, now that he has got a whole bunch of these dudes over here, will Tibbs modernize his offense now that he's gotten rid of Jimmy Butts? Yeah, nah. I mean, what gives you the idea that Tibbs is ever going to do anything that modernizes anything ever? I mean, he's been stuck in a fucking rut. And everyone's like, oh, he's a really good defensive coach. And he's playing fucking Taj Gibson next to goddamn Karl Anthony Towns. What gives you the impression that he's going to have like this come to God moment and be like, oh shit, bro, I get it. If I play Dario the homie Saric next to like Karl Anthony Towns at the five, it's going to space the floor and it's going to be awesome. No, just watch Tibbs like bring the homie off the fucking bench and spud it up. And, it's such a waste. So he's going to get shit canned by the end of this year. Someone else will come in and be smarter about it. And away we go and be like, oh, wow, it's amazing how these guys are really good now, isn't it? It's like, yeah, Tibbs kind of ruined it. Anyway, some non-Jimmy Butler trade ones. Is Blake Griffin a piece of shit? Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ, man, that Malik Monk thing was pretty goddamn dangerous. Like throwing the shoulder into the guy who's in the air, that's just like, you're a fuckwit, mate. That is brutal. I mean, we all kind of knew this after you beat the absolute bejesus out of your best mate in fucking Toronto, but still. Come on, man. This is like in front of everybody on the goddamn court. Settle the fuck down. Should the Rockets bounce from Melo? We've brought it up. We've talked about it. So, yeah, nah. Yes, of fucking course they should. He's a spud. He doesn't make anyone better. Holy crap. Did you see the stat where he's got 5 assists in the entire year? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. They should move on and post haste. You got to get rid of that Melo stench. It's like the Kardashian curse, but he's like a basketball player. It's Melo. Got to get rid of it. Got to wash it off. Sandalwood. And then finally, this is one that until today, I was really banking on. Has Kobe ruined Jason Tatum? Yeah, maybe. We'll talk about that in a second. So let's do it. Look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. Look at me. Even if it's not much of a return, I kind of like the Butts trade for Minnesota way more than I probably even like it for Philly. Like, unfortunately, Tibbs is still the coach, but you do have dudes who can feasibly stretch the floor for Cat and play defense without really needing the ball at all times. But, like, you know, Dario works as a good release valve. He can shoot. Covington can shoot. Wigo's there on the, like, you've got a great wing rotation now between Wigo and Covington as well. It's pretty cool, you know. But the tough part is I just don't trust Tibbs to do it. But I kind of like Minnesota's outlook if they had maybe a more, you know, contemporary-minded coach rather than Philly where they're like, all right, so we've got three good dudes. And it's like, how does it fit? Oh, fuck, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So maybe the return for Minnesota, I like it better than the fit for Philly is basically what I'm trying to say. Just can't really quite see the Simmons non-shooting, Embiid not really being great from three, and Jimmy Butler similar. How that's going to be really super successful from the get-go. Like Kawhi or Paul George obviously would have fit a lot better. But, you know, look, maybe the defensive, like, nous of Butler really helps and they can sort of get him filling in these gaps that we didn't really understand, like, on that Philly defense. So it could still work out, I reckon. But speaking of working out, come on in to Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback. That means 3-for-1 Bloomin' Onions because they're left over from the weekend and no bugger knows what they are. So we're going to fire up some flame-grilled takes and you can have 3-for-1 Bloomin' Onions only at Outback. And speaking of working out, Kobe worked out with Jason Tatum over the summer. And Kobe ruining Jason Tatum is a stealth Lakers rule move by Kobe to upset the Celtics. Kobe saw how dominant the Celtics were going to be for the next 5 years and decided to take Tatum under his wing, having never done anything like that before with anyone, including his own bloody teammates. And it was all to sabotage the young Celtics. Only at Outback. I love this. Until, like, I mean, Tatum has been sputting it up until today. So it was right there. I'm like, oh, man. Maybe Kobe was really just all about, hey, man, I hate the Celtics so much. I'm going to get up in Jason Tatum's head and tell him shit like, oh, shoot it. I mean, if you have to pass it, pass it. But if you don't, just shoot it. I mean, that's going to ruin the kid. Anyway, all right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch. And the first annual Andrew Gaze Memorial Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Let's get to it right after these ones.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew!
Nerd!
That's right! And we're going to talk about some Strayans with some nerdy sort of stats. Let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, with the win over Charlotte on the weekend. Yeah, 22 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. And 2 steals. Then again, in the loss to Memphis, he had 18 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists, putting up some very big numbers. And this is the nerd part. We're also going to talk about our guys' season averages so far. So Big Simo is averaging 15 points a game, 9.6 rebounds, 7.8 assists, and shooting 52% from the field. He has 2 triple-doubles and 3, if you count the one with turnovers. Jonah Bolden got back out there with the trade and of Jimmy Butler, and he's been bouncing up and down from the G League. But they turned him a couple of times this week. So he had a season-high 11 minutes against Charlotte, and then he bettered that against Memphis. So against Charlotte in his 11 minutes, he had 5 points, went 2-for-4 from the field, hit his first 3 in NBA action, went 1-for-3 overall, 4 rebounds and 1 assist. Pretty bloody good. And then in the loss to Memphis, not as good. 15 minutes, he went 0-for-1 from the field, had 3 rebounds and 3 steals. Absolutely bloody crushed it. We're not going to talk about his averages because he's only played 4 or 5 times. Anyway, Jingling Joe Ingles. Unbelievable in their win against Boston for the Jazz. As mentioned, he equaled his career high, 27 points, 10 of 14 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 block, and 1 steal. Absolutely smashed it, bro. A lot of amazing drives and little finger rolls. It was great to see. So the Jingler is averaging almost 14 points a game, 4.3 rebounds, 4.4 assists, along with 1.7 steals. Also still throwing in 44.4% from the field and 39% from three. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, only got 3 minutes against Boston because he had a bit of a shit start. So 0 points, one rebound, one assist, one turnover, and one foul. And he got dragged by Quinn Snyder. So unfortunately, not doing too great as Kangaroo Kobe. So because his averages, I mean, just a bit of a tough one, right? When he's not getting out there much. And so for the year, he's averaging 7.9 points a game, 2.2 assists, 1.8 rebounds. And over the last 10 games, he's only playing 15 minutes a game. Not much. It's killing me. King Deli of Mirrabarra and Thonsong both got a bunch of DMP CDs. Did not play. Coach's decision over the weekend against the Clips and Denver. Just saying, Coach Buds, if you keep losing and you keep not playing the Aussies, I don't know what to tell you, you dickhead. You're killing me. Same thing goes to their averages. They're just not playing enough. Patty Thrills Mills, Rockets on Sunday. Patty Mills absolutely out there crushing it, doing all right at least. I don't know about crushing it. You know, he's still all right. Come on, Patty. What do you reckon, mate? So he had 5 points, 2 of 4 from the field, 1 of 2 from three, 6 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. And yeah, look, could have been a little bit better, could Patty, but he had 20 points in his game prior to that. So let's all just chill out and, you know, let the guy cook. So for the season, he's averaging 10 points a game. Pretty good. 1.9 assists, 3.5 rebounds. I mean, sure. Good job, Patty. Good job. Aaron Bangers Bane today broke a rim. Yeah, he did. Against Portland, which is pretty bloody good. Then to come back out and readjust it. Against the Jazz, though, on the weekend, he had played 15 minutes. He had 5 points, 2 of 3 from the field. 0 of 1 from 3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist and a turnover. And then today against Portland, played 9 minutes. He had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 of 1 from the field. Didn't shoot a three. So hashtag bangers 3-point watch. He's now 7 of 21 for the year. Ryan Rowdy Brockoff did not get on the floor for Dallas against OKC. It's another did not play coach's decision. How about the G League guys? Smashing at the moment. Mitch Creek against the Raps. Deng Adel and the Raps. He had 10 points and 15 rebounds to go with 4 assists and a steal. And then against the Delaware Bluecoats, he also had 17 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal again. Mitchie Creek smashing it, mate. Deng Adel for the Raptors 905 against the Nets. He had 8 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals. And then against the Windy City Bulls, he had 14 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal. Crushing it. And then finally, Isaac Humphries for the Erie Bayhawks against Fort Wayne. He had 17 points and 9 rebounds. 1 assist and a steal, hit 1 of 1 from 3. And against the Canton Charge, not quite as good, 11 points, 5 rebounds. But the G League guys are smashing at the moment, and it's very, very cool. So good on yous. Good on yous. All right, you know what? Let's get to it. It's Monday, so what do we do on Mondays? Oh, let's fire it up. It's the first and Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba. Yeah, let's get it done. How good is that? It's the Andrew Gaze Memorial Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. And today, James Harden, 40 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 1 steal and a block, but disqualified because he also had 9 turnovers. So that's not as excellent. But Joel Embiid, though, on the weekend, he got the knife, so he gets it as well. 42 points, 11 of 18 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3, 19 of 22 from the free throw line. To go with 18 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks, and 3 turnovers. Joel Embiid, that is an outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. All right, so we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board / Twitter check-in and some game previews for tomorrow. Let's get stuck in right after this.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. It's the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Look, no Patty tweets. A bit of a deli one quickly, but there was a great one for Joe Ingles. After his career high the other day, wandering off the court with a towel over his shoulder, a Twitter user found the footage of this when he wandered off. G Nunes tweeted, first ever steal after the game. Hashtag team is everything. Shock emoji, crying emoji, flame emoji, go Jazz. And, you know, tag Joe Ingles in it. And Renee Ingles saw it, retweeted it, said, ha, 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 brilliant. Because there's a kid as Joe Ingles is walking off and just very lightly grabs Joe Ingles' towel from his shoulder. And as Joe Ingles continues to walk, has the towel remaining in his hand. And Joe Ingles does not notice. And Joe tweeted this all out and said, I want my towel back, kid. Classic jingler. All right, let's get to the game previews for tomorrow, Tuesday. Let's do it. Game previews. Game previews. We have 9 games tomorrow, which is absolutely wild. We've got another Harry Potter Bowl. That's right. We've got the return. It's amazing. It's going to be pretty fun too. So we've got Magic at Wizards this time, the Harry Potter Bowl. Oh, you're a wizard, Harry. Nice one, mate. On ya. Come on, mate. Let's all go be wizards together. Oh, this is lovely. Anyway, maybe this would be a magical John Wall night where Orlando just leaves with Orlando. Like the wizards just go, can you take him with you guys? Yeah, this guy fucking sucks. Anyway, maybe. Should we look at the odds and do them live? Let's do that. You can never tell with the odds. It's pretty weird because they have them up and sometimes they just don't. El Clasico. So, Wizard, Magic, 6-point underdogs. Huh. They are in a back-to-back. Maybe give me the Wizards. No, they just suck. I'll take Magic plus 6 if Aaron Gordon comes back. But if he doesn't, I'll take the Wiz minus 6. Philly at Miami. We've got a redo of last year's first round playoff series. That's pretty good. Philly, 1.5-point underdogs in Miami. I will take Philly. Thank you very much. Simo versus James Kung Fu Johnson and Josh Richardson. James Bloodsport Johnson. That'll be fun. It should be a good one, but I'll take Philly, thanks. Plus 1.5. Pelicans at Raptors. Raptors 7-point favorites. This is pretty tasty. You've got Anthony Davis and Giroux versus Clamps and Big Booty Kyle Lowry. Raptors are on an absolute tear. I might take them minus 7. The Raptors have got a lot of big bodies to throw at Anthony Davis. They've got Pascal Siakam, you got Serge, you got Jonas. Yeah, give me the Raps. Dallas at Chicago. Oh, Luka taking on Zachy Levine. Pretty good. That's a fun one. Chicago, 2-point favorites. I might take Dallas plus 2. Thank you very much. Chicago suck. Dallas suck too as well, but I don't know. I'll take the 2. Utah at Memphis. Gobert versus Gasol. It's France versus Spain. There's no love lost between them. Also, Utah should just win this one for reals, right? 3-point favorites. Give me the Jazz over Memphis. Though Memphis are just so super squirrely. They're the squirrely team this year where you're like, I have no idea if they're going to win or lose every game, game in, game out. So, yeah. Brooklyn at Minnesota. Oh, it's a brutal, brutal Brooklyn sort of road trip, huh? They are getting 4 points against a shorthanded Minnesota team, so I might take Brooklyn, even though they'll probably lay a giant egg after what? Four game road trip already. Yeah, it's tough. Phoenix, Denver, Golden State, now Minnesota. Even though Minnesota might be shorthanded, I reckon they'll feel very rejuvenated sans Jimmy, but Brooklyn Nets plus 4, I'll take that. I reckon it might be a bit close. Suns at Thunder. Suns are plus 8.5. I will take the Suns plus 8.5 because the Thunder, probably without Rusty in this one, they'll probably win, but I think it'll be closer than you think. Devin Booker might go absolutely bananas in that. Spurs visit the Sacramento Kings, presumably as long as the wildfires are under control. Sacramento is still cruising along, but I will take the Spurs minus 3 just because they're substantially better than the Sacramento Kings. And then finally, Golden State Warriors at the Los Angeles Clippers. Remember when this is a rivalry? Well, the Clippers are still the only Western Conference team to beat the Warriors in the playoffs in the last 5 years. So I guess it's still a rivalry, but not really. I will take the Warriors minus 3. That sounds about right. So I might stick with that. Even if they don't have Steph or Draymond, I might take the Warriors just because they're substantially better than the Clippers. And you know what? That's it for today. What a massive wrap that was. Jeez, rolling hard. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness as per usual. In the meantime, make sure you're all over the socials, Twitter, Facey, Insta. We'll be all over it during the games. Also, make sure you give us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use to listen to NBA Australia, because it helps out heaps. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music, but go listen to House Hats, their new band. They're the best band in Australia. I've Been Broken. Their song plays behind every Yeah Nah, and it's a rip snorter. Go hit up Triple J or whatever radio station you listen to. Chuck House Hats, I've Been Broken, a request. Also, thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes in NBA Australia. Go smash them up on Bandcamp and Facey. They're awesome. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Deli review as Deli reviews Red Dead Redemption 2. Yes, that's right. Deli reviews Red Dead Redemption 2. Sure. Let's get stuck in. All right. We'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, horse.
Oi, 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 how the fuck is? It's old mate Dally over here. Just swinging by for my usual pop culture review for NBA Australia, eh? So, look, and I gotta tell you, mate, like, it's been a rough couple of weeks for old mate Dally over here, eh? Like, because of that new Spud coach of ours, Coach Spud Buds, mate. And look, I don't know what he's got against your old mate Dally over here, but I reckon he's fully racist as, mate. Like, because he hates me other best mate, Thorn, and me, and like, neither of us can get fucking bloody well on the court, mate. Like, even though Thorn is out there kung fu fighting and dunking on fuckers every time he gets out there, and all I do is lock fools up, and put them in the lockbox of Delhi, and they can never score, and Buds is all like, nah, fuck yous, you're not getting out there. I mean, don't you reckon this goes a long way back as well? Like, this Buds Spud fucker, he never had an Aussie on his roster in Atlanta. So I reckon he's just got a shit ton of anti-Australian bias going on. I mean, what a flog. Anyway, so I've had a lot of time to kill in between not bloody playing, so I picked up that new video game, didn't I? My missus bought it for me. She's like, oh, Dally, you reckon you might like this? I'm like, oh, sick, thanks, love. It's Red Dead Redemption 2, mate. Red Dead Redemption? Yeah, that's how you say it. And I'll tell you, it's maybe my favourite thing ever, mate. Like, I can't stop playing it. Maybe that's why I'm not getting on the court, because I'm just not rocking up to practice and shit, because I'm riding around on my fucking horse, around in the old west, like, fucking shit up, shooting cunts and, like, robbing fuckers and shit. It's just bloody great fun, mate. Like, the best bit, though, is, like, just wandering up some cunt, just fucking bang, punching him in the face, or, like, punching your horse in the face and shit. It's funny as, man. Well, I punched a deer the other day, bro. It was fully sick, I'll tell you. Anyway, I ended up shooting a bunch of fuckers in the town as well. That was sick. I went hunting and went fishing. It's just really fun, man. Like, just hanging out, getting shit-faced at the pub, and then, like, shooting fuckers is funny as, man. So, it's bloody hilarious. I also love how it deals with the platonic ideal of morals and how nothing is ever black or white, though, and, like, how we live our lives in the grey in between, and how the decisions really, really formulate who we are as people. It's really interesting, as nothing has ever been bloody truer, mate. Especially when you're punching horses and shooting dickheads. Anyway, so if you haven't played it yet, then you bloody well better get around it, because it's probably the most fun ever. Like, you ride your horse, shoot your guns. It's basically like being home in Maryborough, mate. Just needs my best mate Plugger driving around in his lowered VL, man. So, anyway, go get it. I'll give it about 42 out of bloody 10 Deli Ones, and I couldn't recommend it highly enough, man. It's bloody terrific. All right. Get around it, give it a smash. And that's it for me for this week. I'll be back next week on NBA Australia for another review of something sick. All right, later, cunts. Deli out.